gonna respond negatively to any of my YouTube videos, at least be grammatical or attempt to be grammatical or look up words in a dictionary. Check your spelling. My goodness, you're not really making your case when you can't talk good English or any English at all. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender. I saw this comment on my video, The Trinity Denies the Death of Christ, on YouTube. That's the one where I destroy the Trinity with a backhoe, but not before. Well, I didn't drive the backhoe personally, and I didn't destroy the Trinity first. First, I threw an egg at it to prove to you that it's not this high and holy teaching. It's a doctrine of demons pressed on us, injected into humanity by the Council of Nicaea in 300-something A.D. And I wanted to prove to you that this doctrine, it was not dangerous to not believe this doctrine, because that's what we hear. Yeah, that's I'm going to tell you what this quote was this guy wrote. You're going to laugh at this. We're told that this is, it's so dangerous not to believe in the Trinity, you just have to believe in it just to be safe, just in case. Well, no, it's a doctrine of demons, and in fact, believing in it is dangerous. Believing in it, because it denies the death of Christ. Go to YouTube, type in my name, then put in Trinity, and watch me throw eggs at it, and then watch it destroyed by a backhoe. I wasn't driving the backhoe. I cannot tell you who was driving the backhoe, because that name has, I've been sworn to secrecy. So anyway, this guy comments and he says, concerning me, he says, quote, this guy is a false doctrine. I am a false doctrine. I don't teach false doctrines. I am a false doctrine. This guy is a false doctrine. Well, unfortunately, sir, who can't write a coherent sentence, no, the Trinity is a false doctrine. I'm Martin Zender, and the Trinity is a false doctrine. All right, on a better note here, I received a letter by a man. I'm going to read you letters once in a while, again, just to let you know that you're not alone. Martin, thought I should write a short memo, let you know a little bit about this mysterious individual who crept into your life. I write the note on letterhead that might let you know how I make a living, accounting and insurance. I also have been a pastor here in my state for 30 plus years. My background, believe it or not, is old-time Pentecostal, though some would consider the ministry charismatic. About 3 years ago, during a life-challenging illness, I found that my well-established theology did not comfort me when staring down at death. Oh, if I can interject there, isn't that true? Doctrine, we all have our pat little doctrines until the rubber meets the road. You're facing death, and then you realize that your doctrines aren't there to help you. The biggest phenomenon in my time I've seen of that was 9/11. When Billy Graham got on national television on some national prayer thing after the 9/11 disaster, and he said, well, we know that some of the victims are in heaven. I mean, this guy had a national stage to comfort people, but the guy, Billy Graham, doesn't even know what the gospel is, so how could he comfort people? But in the wake of 9/11, people started going to church in droves. It was, you know, remarkable. It was demonstrable. There were stats on this. And these people were looking for answers. They were looking for answers to the disaster of sudden death, of a disaster that seemed to take the good with the bad. And nobody could make sense of it. And they went to church because they had the crazy idea that the church could make sense of it. Well, they got to the church and they discovered that the church had no answers. All they could do was stuff them with a donut and give them a hug. And, well, some of them served coffee. How did they know the church had no answers? Because statistics showed that 3 months after 9/11, the church attendance numbers went back to their pre-disaster numbers. The church itself is a disaster. The church itself has killed more people than any Muslim terrorist could hope to kill. Killed them by worry, killed them by fear. So yeah, when you have a life-challenging illness, as this gentleman did who wrote me, he found that, quote, my well-established theology did not comfort me when staring down at death, but rather left me feeling overwhelmingly selfish and disillusioned. That experience set me on a journey to find answers to questions that, by and large, mainstream Christianity is afraid to ask. I have literally read volumes regarding church history, the inclusiveness of God's love, the doctrine of, quote, eternal hell, as we have viewed it, and the sovereignty of God. During this journey and search, I came across the works of Martin Zender. I think I have read all of your books and many articles on your website. Each work has added clarity and definition to thought processes that my heart knew but was unable to articulate. The good news is really much better than anyone has allowed us to know. Oddly enough, and I think you will understand, sharing the good news actually receives negative response on Christian-trained ears. Yes, sir, I have noticed that. So, as a local pastor sharing my heart to reveal the good news, I have had congregants leave. And though no one has a vendetta toward me, I've been here, I guess, too long for that to happen, I think a goodly number of people would consider me to have drifted into heresy. Well, don't feel bad, sir. They said that Jesus had a demon. Back to the letter. However, there is a contingency that seems to want to hear and learn, so onward we go. And that's true. There is a contingency. I'm reaching them. People ask me, where's your field of ministry? It's those people who are on the edge of the pew, the people who are in church, but they're on the edge of the pew because they know something's rotten in pew land, and the people who are on the edge of the world. So we're not out to reach hardcore worldly people or hardcore Christian people, but we're here to reach those on the edges of both worlds where those worlds overlap. And that's a huge group of people. One more paragraph here. Your books and writings, enjoyable to read, have been extremely helpful, enlightening, and, can I say it, anointed. Whoa, I did say it. He's afraid of those Pentecostal terms because he's getting out of that. My gifts, as long as I am empowered to do so, are simply my way of saying thanks. This man is sending me some money to help me keep doing what I do, and that's the only way I can keep doing what I do. And I thank everyone God has put on their heart to contribute to this ministry. It's not a cliche to say, I couldn't do it without you. It's the facts. My prayer, this is the last sentence here. My prayer, an element I find still difficult to clearly define, even after reading your book, is for your continued success and blessing of love and health to you and all those you hold dear. Thank you very much for that letter. That letter made my day, and I hope it made your day, folks, to hear that there are other people out there, lots of them really, were just all scattered. All right, we talked about, in Clyde's book last couple times, we were talking about all these ridiculous things, all these much learning people dive into in their various church organizations, Sunday school, new members class, revivals, Awanis, Wednesday night Bible studies. The more they learn, the dumber they get. Oh, that's the definition of theology. People who go to school to become theologians or these doctorate degrees, doctor of divinity or whatever overblown phrases they lay upon each other. This kind of business, theology, is the only business in the world, the only line of education, the only branch of education where the more you learn, the dumber you become. It's a phenomenon. Now, I wrote a book several years ago called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. I am holding a copy of that book in my hands now, and I had to seek it diligently to find it because it's out of print. But the good news is the next project on the board here for me is to publish the reprint. I'm going to reprint this book in paperback with a new cover. It's got a new introduction. It's edited. It's better than ever. Going to have new cartoons and some graphics in here. So look for that this summer for sure. How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. I got this part in here I really like. Now, it looks like I'm going to have to split this up into two different days. Going to finish this up tomorrow. But the last chapter, for those of you who have read this book, is a critique of Bob Larson. Bob Larson wrote a book in, 1982, called Larson's New Book of Cults. And he lists 19 characteristics of a cult. You see, Bob Larson set himself up as the ultimate cult detector. He is standing on his parapet, and he's going to tell you where the cults are. Unfortunately, he's in the biggest cult ever. But if you set yourself up as the mother of all cult detectors, then you deflect suspicion from your own camp. Anyway, I'm looking at point number 10. And of course, what I do in this book is I take these 19 points, I apply them to myself, because I've been accused of being a cult leader, if you can believe that, right? Yeah. I don't have enough organization to be a cult leader. I don't have enough love bombing techniques, right? That's one of the big things of a cult, love bombing. So what I do in this book is I apply these characteristics to me and I apply them to Bob Larson's religion, namely Christianity. And of course, you know the results. Christianity is the biggest cult going. Lack of privacy, all right? Chat. This is point number 10, lack of privacy. Listen to this. This is from Bob Larson's book. This is a characteristic of a cult. Characteristic number 10, lack of privacy. Reflective critical thinking is impossible in a setting where cult members are seldom left unattended, and the ego's normal emotional defense mechanisms can easily be stripped away by having the new member share personal secrets that can later be used for intimidation. So what the cult tries to do is strip away your defense mechanisms so it can inject the information into you more readily, and therefore you're seldom left attended. Why? Because if you're seldom left unattended. Why? Because if you're unattended, you might have chance to think, and thinking is the enemy to all cults. Therefore, you are bombarded with information. And wait till you hear this list of a church in Mansfield, Ohio, the Springmill Church of God. I snagged a brochure, at least one of my people snagged a brochure from the Springmill Church of God in Mansfield, Ohio, a church that contains 70 exciting ministries, quote unquote, with an exclamation point. 70 exciting ministries. I'm telling you, people in organized religion are stuffed with deviled eggs, and they're attacked with so much information and so much busy do that they can't even think straight. But that's the idea. Tomorrow I'm gonna list these for you, and then I'm gonna share with you a rather humorous discussion between a real person and a member of a church.